Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Emily Proud from News 2. Emily, what's going on? How are we doing?
We are doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Emily, obviously a lot to get to you with here on the show today. There's NCAA tournament coming up later this week. Nice game between Belmont and Vanderbilt tonight as well. We'll start with the NFL free agency part of it, though. The Titans re-signed Jeff Swaim yesterday. They go after, you know, another offensive lineman from the Seahawks. And also, Ben Jones re-signed by the Titans as well. What do you think of the moves the Titans have made so far, and what do you have your eye on as to moves they could make as the week continues to progress here?
Yeah, I mean, day one, I guess the unofficial start for them yesterday was the epitome of not sexy moves, right? They just focused on guys who can block. That's incredibly important. I think that, you know, although people aren't super happy with Jeff Swaim's number, I do think that felt pretty inevitable that he was coming back, especially with just how thin they are at the tight end position. Certainly hope that they're not done there yet. But Ben Jones was such an important signing for this team. I mean, just his durability. He's missed a game in the last 6 years. He was one of just 10 Titans to play all 17 last year, which is a major feat considering all of the injuries that they went through. He's huge for, you know, if you want Ryan Tannehill to take a step forward this upcoming season. I mean, the Ben Jones signing, I cannot say enough about the importance of that. And, you know, ultimately you look at it right now, and although that they weren't super active on day one, and I know it's way more fun for fans when they are, ultimately they were still able to keep three of their biggest in-house guys, and that's Earl Landry, Ben Jones, and, of course, Morgan Cox. I'm being completely serious.
You know what? Yeah, you know what? It's about time we got some long snapper awareness on this show.
I agree.
I actually don't think we've mentioned Morgan Cox one time, but hey, you notice the long snapper when they screw up, right?
Certainly, yeah. You don't want to know his name.
So, Emily, one guy we've talked about that I'm really interested in how it goes, and I go back and forth. I mean, look, if it can work, great. But right now, the Titans are about to be over the cap for sure with these new contracts. Zach Cunningham, how do you view him and the importance of having him on this team next year?
I think definitely the importance is through the roof. You saw the fact that he, you know, was able to come in mid-season and immediately make an impact. His contract is such a weird situation, though, and I think that's one that we've all been kind of keeping our eye on, not from the standpoint of necessarily think he's going to get cut, but if he does, it saves $10.5 million with zero dead cap, which is, you know, unheard of. That seems like a clean sweep, good to go. But at the very least, some sort of restructuring, extension, like that sort of thing. I think it's surprising that we haven't seen any movement there from him. But in terms of the position that he plays and the importance on this Titans roster, certainly you don't expect Rashawn Evans to come back, which makes that a need. I'm not sure what they're going to do with Jayon Brown. They could potentially just keep handing him one-year contracts if he's cool with that, but I'm certain that he has something to say about it. And you look at the future, and that's David Long Jr. So certainly you need somebody opposite of David Long Jr. there. And so I like Cunningham there, but the way his contract is right now is just a straight-up $10.5 million cap hit in 2022. I don't think he plays with his contract as it's structured at this moment.
Emily Proud from News 2 on the line with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Emily, switching gears to the NCAA tourney, obviously the Vols, they win their first SEC tournament since 1979. Number one, what do you think that accomplishment in and of itself means to Tennessee fans, and how dangerous do you think this Tennessee team can be when the NCAA tournament gets underway this week?
I think that for fans, they should be feeling the same way that the team is. I mean, you saw the emotion that they had, the excitement that they won. It does matter, as much as I know people are maybe overreacting to what Rick Barnes said yesterday, we shouldn't play, we should just let the bubble teams battle it out. I do think that there, you know, is a conversation there, but ultimately to say that winning the SEC tournament didn't mean anything is just not true. I mean, that clearly meant something to these guys, and I think it means something to fans, too. For Tennessee fans to be a champion at something, to be the last one standing, to cut down the net, it's been so long since they've seen that, and so that's huge. But, you know, the same thing that we heard from the team that night after they won was, yes, this was awesome, a lot of hard work. They, you know, they talked about how great their teammates were and how Rick Barnes got them to the situation, but also looking ahead and understanding that this is not it. This is just the beginning. They have much, much bigger goals than that, of course, in the NCAA tournament. And that's the fun part about March, is that only one team is satisfied at the end. And it's so much of it. The season itself is long, and there's ups and there's downs, but ultimately it's all about what you do in March. And right now, Tennessee fans can already say that they've got a championship, and they were able to cut down nets, and they've got a trophy, and so they've got that in their back pocket. All that to say, if they go and immediately get bounced in the first round by the Lancers, I think all that good will is completely out the window. But it does mean something, but also that they're hoping to get a little bit more here in the next couple weeks.
Okay, so where have you got them on your bracket?
I've got them going to my Final Four.
Mm-hmm. Well, right there with Rexroad. I like it.
I'm with you.
Hey, well, that's good. Okay. This is such a wide open bracket. I mean, I don't even know. It's a mess putting my bracket together this year. I think that's what makes this so exciting, is there aren't, you know, clear cut. These guys are ultimately going to make it to the Final Four. But in years where that's the case, where it seems wide open, then it's just chalk and it's all the one seeds. So who knows?
What can a run like this do for Rick Barnes in your mind? I mean, obviously, he's a really good coach. You can already make the argument. I don't even think it's an argument. He's one of the best coaches in the history of the Tennessee men's basketball program. But if they are able to make a deep run, and let's say they do get to a Final Four this year, what does this do for the Tennessee program, for Rick Barnes specifically, in your mind, Emily?
Well, it's huge. I mean, you look at the two, I guess, knocks against him have been his, you know, inability to make that deep run in the tournament, and then also his ability to, you know, be able to recruit. And I think that he's squashed that one with the amount of five stars that they have on this roster now and the amount that he's brought in since he's become the head coach. And so I think he's good to go there. We can put a little check mark. Obviously, that's a staff-run thing. But that's kind of the stigma around him, is that he, you know, can't win and can't make that deep run. And certainly the last few years have been an indication of that. And so certainly just to get that monkey off his back, but also for Tennessee and this basketball program to continue. I mean, he's not getting any younger necessarily. And so to be able to leave this program in a good place, if and when he does choose to retire, I think is big for him and what it means for his legacy, but also for UT to maybe try to be a basketball school. But football would be nice, but for now, let's just enjoy the hoops.
Well, let's talk about your alma mater, Emily. So little Belmont Vanderbilt tonight, which as soon as that came out, I mean, look, I know it was NCAA Selection Sunday, but I got to say, when I saw that pair, I was like, oh, yes. Little Belmont Vandy tonight at Memorial. That's a big one. Also, Destiny Wells and Belmont in Knoxville this weekend. A shot at Oregon. Upset Gonzaga last year, of course, with Destiny Wells leading the way. First of all, what do you think about tonight's game? Second of all, can the Bruins in East Tennessee get a shot at the Lady Vols this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly a dream come true for me. I mean, just seeing the potential pairing of Belmont and the Lady Vols, and then the actual pairing of the crosstown rivalry between Belmont and Vanderbilt tonight. I think that's, you know, spectacular. I will say that there was some rumblings that that's something that was in the works. Also, the fact that the NCAA, you know, apparently let some programs know that there would be a big push to keep things regional because of a concern over having enough charter flights. So I assume that there would be a lot of, you know, close action here to our area. We're already seeing that play out with, I believe, is it Colorado State? Can't get an airplane. But yeah, I mean, this this is clearly something that the NCAA tried to do. And I think for basketball in our area, it's awesome. I've always known that specifically when it comes to women's basketball in Tennessee has been so underrated. I think the MTSU is playing in the WNIT. They were one game short of winning their conference tournament. They were in the NCAA tournament last year, and so there's just a lot of really good basketball here. So I'm excited about that. Definitely excited about tonight's matchup. I think that these are teams that should play more often than they do. So if it takes the NIT bracket makers to make it happen, I'm all for it. I will say from a Belmont fan perspective, I'm a little nervous because these are two programs going in kind of separate directions right now in terms of how they ended the season. I think it's crazy that Belmont, you know, they dropped 51 points in the last game that they played, which was 18 days ago.
Yeah.
So they have not played basketball in a while. And what's Vanderbilt's last game? Going toe-to-toe with Kentucky in the SEC tournament, and that was Friday. And so this is definitely a tough matchup for Belmont, but one I'm very excited to see. And just from a personal standpoint, Belmont has so many veteran leaders on this team and guys that I want to see play more basketball with Grayson Murphy and Nick Musinski and Luke Smith. I mean, they have so many leaders that have been on this team, and I'm excited to see them play more basketball for sure. I think either way, Vanderbilt should be excited about the future, but from a Belmont perspective, a little nervous about the future, considering all those guys are going to be gone. So I would like to see them play more hoops in March.
Yeah, should be a really fascinating matchup tonight, no question about it. Emily, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Have fun covering a wide variety of the world of sports this week. Fascinating week here in our area.
March is an underrated month, guys.
It is.
Love
it. Really is. Love it for sure.
It's Emily the best
Brown
month.
It is, according to Rex, the best month. Emily, we appreciate you joining us this
thanks,
morning.
Emily.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Absolutely. Emily Proud from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. I don't think Emily agreed with you there. I don't think it happened. I don't think she was all about March being the best month. We'll come back. We'll react to what Emily had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. The Game Bracket Challenge is back. Sign up and play for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Indy 500 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Sunday, May the 29th, and a pair of tickets to see Shinedown at Bridgestone Arena coming up on May the 4th. Now, now that all the teams have been selected, go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge and fill out your bracket to compete. The Game Bracket Challenge is brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Grill in Spring Hill and Days Delta 8 and Wager. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Emily Proud from News 2 for joining us in the last segment. Going to be joined by Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, coming up at 9:30. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Big game tonight between the Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Some breaking news on the Titans front. According to Adam Schefter, the Tennessee Titans are releasing cornerback Janoris Jenkins. So Janoris Jenkins being released by the Titans. I don't think a huge surprise there. That saves the Titans roughly $6.9 million on the salary cap. So we talked about this earlier in the show. Would the Titans release him today? It would have kind of been, a little bit of a head-scratcher as to why he had not been released to this point. And the Titans have apparently done that today. So Janoris Jenkins cut by the Titans, saving them $6.9 million in cap space. And now the question is, okay, you don't have Jackrabbit Jenkins. You do have Fulton, and you've got Molden, and both of those guys, I think, played pretty well for the most part this year. Can Caleb Farley pick up the slack on the other side? That's going to be the question that they have to answer here, and we'll see whether or not Caleb Farley is ready for that when training camp comes around. Obviously rehabbing from a torn ACL right now as well. So you're talking about a guy that when you select him in the first round, you knew that injuries were a problem anyway. Injuries creeped up again last year for Caleb Farley, and now that Jackrabbit Jenkins has been released by the Titans, a hole to fill at the cornerback position as well. I'm interested to see, how much draft capital do they spend on corner as well. I don't think they'll take one high. I don't think it's going to be their first-round pick or anything, but now that you're putting a lot of your eggs into the Caleb Farley basket, presumably going to be interesting to see what happens on that front. Let's welcome in our good friend Joe Rexroad, who is part of the show on his way here to the studio. Joe, we talked about it earlier today here on the program. The Titans make it official. I guess the Titans haven't made it official yet, but Adam Schefter reporting that Jackrabbit Jenkins has been released by the Titans. Not a big surprise there, and now we're going to see what Caleb Farley's made of.
Yeah, well, so, you know, one of my predictions actually came true. It actually, while the show was still going on.
It did.
How about that?
Two for two.
I thought yesterday we'd get that word, but God damn it, it had to happen. It had to happen. Again, it's not like I wouldn't take this. If I was a Titans fan, I would not take this like, okay, so they're feeling great about Caleb Farley. He's going to be a starter, be a plus player, all that stuff. I mean, he has to be because he was a first-round pick last year. I don't know how you could know at this point. But you also don't know he won't be, right? And I do believe, you know, I think the Titans really like him, and I think this is part of why he's drafted. I think they love his enthusiasm, you know, his personality. I mean, he obviously, as we've already been able to tell, does not lack for confidence. You know, does not lack for personality. I mean, he's one of those guys which, you know, at that position, you know, you got to be able to take your lumps and come right back the next play and you know, make a play. And I think he's got a good, you know, demeanor and everything for it. I think he has all the tools for it. But, ACL recovery on top of all the back stuff, it's still a huge question mark. But I think if they had found some way to keep Jenkins or hadn't cut Jenkins or whatever, that to me would be more like, okay, they really are concerned that Farley isn't going to work out. At least this kind of, this makes it very clear. Like, Caleb Farley is probably as important an individual storyline as there is for next year. I guess unless you think, you know, even with a replacement corner at that other spot, that's still going to be a very good defense, and the offense is just a bigger question. But, I mean, he's high on that list of biggest storylines in 2022.
Yeah, they need him to be available, and they need him to be able to show a little bit of why the Titans drafted him in the first round. I don't think there's any question about that. I guess as you look at it now, how do you feel about depth at that position? You've got Fulton, you've got Molden in the slot, you've got Farley, you've got Chris Jackson in the mix as well, and you know they had a bunch of different guys last year, whether it was Buster Skrine stepping in there, obviously Jackrabbit. I mean, he wasn't perfect last year, and he had some games where it was rough. He also played really well in a couple of games coming down the end of the season as well. I'm interested to see, you know, how much attention either in the draft or maybe really, really late into free agency, the bargain basement, do they try to address the cornerback position, because, you know, you're one injury away at that spot right now from maybe being in a huge problem, huge world hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've, you know, I think Chris Jackson as your fourth corner is, you know, you could be in worse shape. And you mentioned some of those other guys. They've found some pretty good play from various guys in the last couple of years. I do think that there's going to be, you know, a new name, you know, somewhere along the way, whether it's draft or, you know, another low-cost pickup. But, I mean, look, in a perfect world, in a capless world, the Titans would still have Jenkins next year. And then they'd be able to. Because I agree with you, I think that he actually played better football late in the season, kind of reminiscent of Malcolm Butler's first year with the Titans. You know, it wasn't nearly as rough early for Jenkins as it was for Butler, but it was rough at times. And by the end of that year, Butler, you could see, okay, now you get it. You know, obviously, I mean, obviously he had been a good player before that, but he was starting to really fit in. And look, Jenkins, I thought, was better late, and if the Titans could keep Jenkins, if the cap didn't make it so they aren't keeping Jenkins, then it'd be a much better scenario. They'd have Farley coming back, no huge rush, you're the fourth corner, and hey, go get after it and compete and win that starting job as fast as you can. At some point in the season, he probably would have. But now, instead, it's you're the guy. And that's a lot on him. But I also think that, like, if you tell me opening week it's you know, it's Fulton, Molden, Jackson starting, I wouldn't be shocked by that. And the Titans, I don't think, would be terrified by that.
Yeah, I don't think they would be either. And, you know, look, we've talked about this. I get the concern on Caleb Farley. And, I share the concern on Caleb Farley. I was concerned about him just from the standpoint he's not played the position all that long. I, you know, physically, there's a lot there. We've talked with lots of people about that. But at some point when you draft somebody in the first round, you've got to take a chance if you're John Robinson and see what they can do. And, you know, hopefully it's a situation with him where he recovers from the torn ACL and he's able to be out there and be available this year, and you start to see some of what the Titans saw when they drafted him in the first round. I will say, though, you know, if he gets hurt again this year, and, you know, the ACL, obviously you can't predict that. Sometimes it just happens. So it's not necessarily anybody's fault that he got hurt last year. But if he gets hurt again this year and it's 2 years in a row with your first-round pick being hurt after he had injury issues in the draft, Titans fans are not going to be very happy with John Robinson on that.
Well, no, and especially when, you know, like a guy like Greg Newsom, you know, if he continues to progress and look like a really good young corner, you know, in the draft. I know different players and you can talk system and all that stuff, but that was a safer choice. And for the Browns, it looks like a good choice. So, sure, I mean, look, Farley and Radunz this year, they're going to define the last draft class. And if it goes the wrong way, then you're talking about two straight bad draft classes. And if you have two straight bad draft classes, it's going to adversely affect your bottom line pretty quickly.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Preds TV analyst Chris Mason. We'll get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators tonight as they host the Pittsburgh Penguins. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Play hooky with the game and watch all the games at New Heights Brewing this Thursday and Friday, March 17th and 18th. We'll be broadcasting live, and there will be beer and basketball all day long. You can enjoy food from the local distro and try beers from the Tap Truck Nashville and New Heights Brewing as well. A portion of proceeds from beer sales will go to Metro Animal Care and Control. Come play hooky and give back at New Heights Brewing at 928 Rep John Lewis Way South in Nashville, powered by Wager, the new gaming app where you challenge your community, not the house. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Nashville Predators taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst. Looking forward to that conversation coming up here in just a few minutes. In the meantime, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Matthew from Jolton texting in says, what do you think about the Preds getting Cam Fowler? Of course, Cam Fowler plays for the Anaheim Ducks. The Ducks have begun, it looks like, selling off some pieces at the deadline. Josh Manson going from Anaheim yesterday to the Colorado Avalanche. So, you know, they're a team that's kind of in a transition right now. They overachieved for the most part this year in what they have been able to do. And then they've started to fade a little bit as of late. Obviously, some injuries. When they came in here last week and played against the Predators, I mean, Ryan Getzlaff wasn't playing. You know, Trevor Zegras wasn't playing. There's a lot of holes that they have. I would say there's a 0% chance that the Predators go after Cam Fowler. Number one, he's under contract through, I believe, the 2025-26 season for Anaheim. So I don't think there will be much interest in Anaheim for trading him there to begin with. But number two, I mean, he's too expensive. His cap hit over the next four seasons is $6.5 million. And I don't think the Predators are interested in spending $6.5 million against the cap for a guy when they have Roman Josi and Matias Ekholm and Alex Carrier and Dante Fabro in that top four. Like, you're not going to get Cam Fowler to play on your bottom pairing. So I don't think the Predators are going to be very interested in the Cam Fowler part of these things. But I will say, a veteran D-man at the deadline, we've talked so much about Forsberg and that decision. Could they find somebody to be added to, you know, maybe the second line for depth scoring purposes? There's a lot of different ways you could go about it if you're David Poile at the trade deadline. I'm interested to see if a veteran defenseman could be part of that as well, because, you know, all of a sudden Matt Benning goes down the other night. Mark Borowiecki's been out of the lineup the last few games. And I said this from the start. I think when all six of those guys are healthy, so when you have Roman Josi playing with Dante Fabro and Ekholm and Carrier together, and that third pair has been Borowiecki and Benning, I think you feel pretty good about your defense corps at that point. I saw some numbers, and I can't remember which of the fancy stat analytics sites that we all love threw it out there the other day, But the Borowiecki Benning pairing has actually been pretty darn good in terms of their numbers analytically. So when those six guys are healthy, I think you feel really good about what you have on defense if you're the Predators. The problem is, and we know this, coming down the stretch when the games get more physical and you're playing basically every other night at this point, if you're the Predators, you know, injuries are going to happen on that side of the puck. So right now that's what they're going through from an injury standpoint, and it would be nice to see if there would be some depth there that could be added by David Poile. So priority one for the Predators at the deadline, what's going to happen with Philip Forsberg? What does that contract look like? Priority number two, is there a piece out there that you feel like if you wanted to add, could you get something relatively cheap that could come in and either play with Mikael Granlund on the second line and maybe add some depth scoring there? Or if you switch the lines back up at some point and Granlund's back with Forsberg and Duchesne, could somebody play with Ryan Johansson? I don't know. That's going to be the question that David Poile is going to have to figure out at that point. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, NHL Tonight this Sunday stated that the Preds were at 6 years max on Forsberg, and Forsberg is asking for 8.5 at 8 years. Did you hear anything about that on the NHL Network? Also said their hands are tied, and a deal will be made before the deadline to move him out of Nashville. This according to a texter on the text line. I did not see that, but you know, if there are people out there that think that Philip Forsberg is signing a deal for less than 8 years here in Nashville, I don't understand it. Like, I don't think you're really living in reality at that point. Like, Philip Forsberg, if he goes to the open market, he's going to get a 7-year deal. So if you're the Predators, like, to me, you got to start with at least a 7-year deal, and the 8-year is really the negotiating tactic that you have. So, you know, I could be totally wrong about this. Maybe the Predators are trying to sign him to a 6-year deal. I don't know. But to me, like, if you're trying to sign Philip Forsberg to a 6-year deal right now, you're probably not living in reality. Let's welcome in Joe Rexroad to get his thoughts on that. Joe Rexroad, any chance at all the Predators are signing Philip Forsberg to a 6-year deal?
No, I mean, it has to be 8. I mean, I don't even think – I'd imagine term is something that's long ago been abandoned as it's even something to discuss, because it's obvious. Because contracts are guaranteed, and because that those 8 years then give you a chance to give a, you know, a richer deal and compensate for, you know, the higher AAV that another club may want to give Forsberg, or that he believes another club may want to give him this year on the open market. They can only go to 7. You can go to 8. Take advantage of going to 8. That's over. It's about the number, and it's about no movement. I'm saying those are the only two things that should be discussed in this negotiation is the number and the no movement situation, and then of course another huge factor is just Forsberg and where he wants to be, if he definitely wants to be here, if he likes the future of the club, or if he feels like, you know, maybe there's a greener pasture out there for him.
Ryan in Nashville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Knowing P.K. Subban is going to be an unrestricted free agent, what about reacquiring P.K. Subban? It's not happening.
Nah.
I'm just telling you, it's not going to happen. Honestly, if I'm the Predators, there's no reason to even look at it, to be honest with you. P.K. is just not the same guy that he used to be. He's not the same player.
Nah.
He's nowhere near as good, and you're not bringing P.K. Subban in at that price to be a third-pair defenseman for you.
Right.
We got to get off the name part of some of these guys, right? Like it's we got to think right about what the fit is. P.K. Subban's not a fit. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Some talk about Ryan Dzingel on the text line as well, in terms of another option the Predators could be interested in at the deadline. Ryan Dzingel was put on waivers the other day, so the Predators had an opportunity to go out and grab him, I guess, if they really wanted to, and they did not. So I would not assume that Ryan Dzingel at this point would be available. And again, that's a name that people know. I get it. He's got 8 points in 32 games this year and 5 goals. Like, Ryan Dzingel's not helping you much right now.
There are a lot of players with names who used to be good who are no longer good.
I mean, Kyle Turris. Go back down that road, Rex Road.
Well, I mean, you're paying them still. So,
that's true.
Would he come back for just what you already have to pay him, $2 million every year?
I don't know.
Just take that money and come back and hang around?
Just revitalize Kyle Turris's career coming back in here? I don't even know. Like, is he on an NHL roster right now? I know he was with Edmonton, but I don't know if he's still on that roster or not. I need to look. But, yeah. I mean, it's,
I don't know.
That's the challenge for David Poile at the deadline. Number one, I know, you know, all your attention right now, if you're him and if you're a Predators fan, is on the Forsberg part of this. But it is, you know, let's say you get a deal worked out there, or even if you don't and you're deciding that you're keeping Forsberg. Like, if you're keeping Forsberg and he hasn't signed a deal, does that make you any more or less likely, if you're David Poile, to maybe go out and add more pieces? Like, we saw Columbus a couple of years ago when they had Panarin and Bobrovsky, and they knew that they were probably going to lose both of them. They just went out and loaded up, and they got Matt Duchene, and they got Ryan Dzingel, and they got all these guys, and they got a nice, impressive first-round win against Tampa Bay, and then they were out in the second round. Like, I can't picture the Predators doing anything close to that, because I think if you're keeping Forsberg through the deadline, you probably at least think there's at least a chance that you can sign him down the stretch. Like, I can't imagine David Poile being told by, like, Forsberg and his agency, yeah, thanks for the time here, but we're going to hit the free agent market, and, you know, it's been a good time here in Nashville. Like, if that's the case and he knows that, I think he's probably trading him at that point.
Yeah, could be. What if they win every game until then and they look incredible? I mean, I know that that's such a short-term mindset, but you know, I don't know, man. I feel like it's very fluid. Is today Poile's EDC interview?
It is, 11:15.
Okay.
That'll be fascinating.
Going to be, you know, very interesting to see. You know, and of course we're all – just like in Indy, by the way, when we were wrong on stuff, or I shouldn't say we, when I was wrong on reading some things.
No, we were wrong.
This is a situation where, you know, where you read tone and parse every single syllable and try to figure out, you know, how is it looking? I mean, it's almost like a, you know, it's like a stock report or something here in the final days. And this has got to be a pretty wild week for David Poile.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators. Get to more of those coming up next on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll keep you updated on the latest in NFL free agency as well. All that ahead, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Nashville Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Preds, join 102.5 The Game this Thursday night for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. You can have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Philadelphia Flyers. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 6 o'clock. Coming up this Thursday night on the road against the Philadelphia Flyers. At home tonight against the Penguins. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Always fun to see Sidney Crosby and company come back in the building. You know, there's always been, you know, a little bit of animosity directed his way here, but not much. I mean, he's a really good player. You see really good players across the league get booed a lot. Crosby, at times, has been a little whiny throughout his career, so I understand it. But ever since the Cup Final, like every time he comes in here, place is loud. They really don't like Sidney Crosby anymore. A lot of Predators fans angst.
Actually,
Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, maybe they should bring back Subban just so they can
mash
tangle
each other's heads in the ice.
And talk about, what was he talking about, scope?
Yeah.
But actually, he was just – remember that it was like we asked Subban. It was like, yeah, what, you know, what'd you say to him? And it was something like, what do you have, scope or something? Then later you saw like the Showtime and it was just like, F you, F you,
yeah,
F you.
It's not what he said at all. Okay.
Good stuff.
Guess it's better than just coming out with that all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know. I mean, he could have told us that.
He could have.
It was funnier the way he did it.
Was it scope? I'm trying to remember what mouthwash brand it was.
Was it Colgate? No,
it was Colgate's Listerine.
Oh, was it Listerine?
Yeah, it was Listerine.
Did you say Listerine? Okay. Yeah. Which is the more popular in Canada? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Is there a Canadian mouthwash that's especially popular?
Could be. I have no clue. know, the transactions continue to flurry in here on NFL Free Agency Day. Aaron Rodgers officially signing his contract with the Green Bay Packers. Lots of money being thrown around to offensive linemen. It's been a good time to be an offensive lineman so far in free agency.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of teams have bad offensive lines. Now, there are some teams that have protected their quarterbacks. Across the league, not every single offensive line sucks at pass blocking, but hey, there's a premium. It's all aspects of, you know, you start with quarterback, very high emphasis on getting after quarterbacks. You got to have a high emphasis on protecting them. And, yeah, we're definitely seeing that. I've almost felt like yesterday, you know, because I think the Titans are laying in wait here and trying to figure out a tight end move.
Yep.
And they will make one. But yesterday was kind of like the run on offensive lineman day, you know?
Yeah.
So they got in there and kept their guy and got an interesting prospect in Jamarco Jones. I think that's – I mean, for the price, I think that's not bad.
DJ Chark going to the Detroit Lions. So,
lots of
movement at wide receiver yesterday for the Jags. Looks like Chenault might be on the trading block, according to a couple of reports out there from Jacksonville, and DJ Chark going to the Lions. So, now Jared Goff's got him. Josh Reynolds on one side, who signed a 2-year deal. DJ Chark on the other one, man.
I mean, if that roar isn't being restored, I don't know what else you need to see. And this is here's another thing from Indy that, you know, just for basically don't believe anything you hear in Indy, because Trent Baalke was like, oh, no, Chenault, we're big on him. No, totally believe in him. Now, let me go out and overpay a bunch of dudes and get rid of him immediately.
Let's bring in every receiver possible so we can trade him, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wonder how Trevor Lawrence is feeling today. I'm sure he's excited. New weapons. Not necessarily great weapons, but new ones.
See, the interesting thing is, I mean, obviously Chenault had a very – disappointing year, but going into the year, it was like, oh, okay, this guy's got something. We know DJ Chark, when he's healthy, he's actually pretty good. Are these two guys they signed? I think Kirk is probably – he's better. But those two guys collectively, are they better than Chark and Chenault at their best?
I didn't know who Zay Jones was until yesterday, so I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
So, I mean, you could very much – you could argue no – and they're paying way more money to arguably be worse at receiver.
Now, then you throw Evan Engram in there. And look,
yeah,
I think.
And I like that.
I think he's not lived up to probably his potential at this point, which may be why he's on a 1-year deal right now. But, you know, physically, with the tools he brings to the table, like if he can stay healthy, that could be a pretty good weapon for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. And, you know, Brandon Scherff is, I mean, I like that too. So it's not like it's all bad, but. No, Baalke with the receivers, man. Going a little nuts with the receivers. Todd in Jacksonville, though, he's not discouraged.
Well, the good news is when he has to fire, you know, Doug Peterson later this year, he'll be around for that fifth coaching hire. That guy can hire some coaches, man.
Nah, Baalke told us at the combine. He's changed the entire culture in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Oh, here's a picture of my family. Hey, where's the coffee maker? Changed the entire culture of the organization.
No, I've not met hardly any of the players yet outside of the quarterback.
Yeah.
Yes, the culture has changed.
But he and Trent Baalke have gone golfing. They and their wives went out golfing. He told us about this, and the culture of the organization has changed. So, Todd in Jacksonville, get excited.
Well, I will say this. If you're a Jags fan out there, I mean, it's hard to have a much worse, quote-unquote, culture than you did last year. Not going to be a whole lot of 1-2-3 grinds on the sideline at practice from the Jags this year.
I mean, actually, it's a perfectly fine
chant.
It just depends on the meaning, you know?
great choice by them in that
week. That's brilliant. I mean, that's one of the best troll. I mean, seriously, it's a team breakdown chant, and you're trolling your head coach.
As he stands on the sideline watching you do it. 1-2-3, grind.
Wait, we just made that up, though. That didn't actually happen.
No, it happened. Oh, it happened. And they laughed. Yeah. I mean, they were like laughing.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Oh, honestly, this entire time, I thought Robbie just like made it up, and then it was an ongoing joke. Like, haha, oh, I get it. Like, that's funny. Oh, my gosh, I didn't even realize that. Oh, that makes it even better.
You can find it. You can find it on the internet. I mean, because like 1-2-3 grope would be like too obvious.
Yeah, it's still too far.
1-2-3 grind kind of, you know, it's a double entendre. Good stuff, Jax.
Yeah, it is great
stuff. Organization does have hope because of that moment, I believe.
Preds in action tonight. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's. It's the neighborhood bar and restaurant to catch the next Preds game. Jasper's is located on Weston Avenue and offers a fun atmosphere with a game room, TVs, and a large bar and lounge area. Plus, they offer free parking. We know what a big deal that is downtown on West End, and offer specials for every Preds game day, including $10 smash burgers and $3 bottled domestics as well. So come on down to Jasper's next game day for happy hour every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. and 2-for-1 beers all day long on Sundays. Just tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you. Joe Rexroad, you're about to get after it on the road again, heading up to Indy.
I am, but can I just ask you something? I've like seen Jared's face in the booth, and I'm freaked out. Speaking of being freaked out by seeing someone's face, look, I know that I don't trump Mrs. Stanley, okay?
Yeah.
Dude, grow a little bit of that beard. You're freaking me out a little bit here.
I'm freaking myself out. I'm just doing what I was told.
Have you been looking? That's right. You can look at yourself in the Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
You got to. There's a happy medium here that I think we can all agree on. Maybe we can have a Zoom call, all of us, and we'll figure out
the
proper beard length. Yeah. What is Jared doing in here?
I don't know.
We have a workshop.
Glowering at me.
Just out there.
Whatever.
Some of us have to go to work, Joe.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Look at that.
Good one.
He's calculating up the salary cap over there. How much money the Titans can spend.
Some of us have to. Like, today he's going to be like, Jackrabbit Jake. No, that's not the cap. It has nothing to do with the cap. He stinks. No, the cap doesn't exist.
I already argued with John Glennon about this today. It's not a cap thing. It's that they just didn't want to pay him that kind of money.
There we go. No, brilliant. I mean, this is going to be hilarious to see you dance around every single move that's related to the cap and say it's not related to the cap. It's amazing.
That's
going
to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.